Hello, this is the Torg Eternity Delphi Council Debriefings, where the storm has a name. We are your hosts, Lehman, Jay, and Mark, and today we are doing a part two of the Nile Empire Cosm cards. We did 1 through 7 previously, so today we are doing 8 through 20. However long it takes, we will plow through these. So there won't be a part three. But just momentarily, before we jump into the cards, we do encourage you to email us at torgdcd@gmail.com. You can send us emails and we will read the emails. If you have questions, we'll answer the questions. If you have comments, we might comment back on your comments. But that is a thing that we always appreciate. And again, that is torgdcd@gmail.com. So let's move into the Nile Empire Cosm cards. Number 8, Triumphant Boast. Play when face-to-face with a villain. The villain must explain his scheme in some detail. If the villain isn't in charge, he explains who is and what he knows of any master plan. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on Triumphant Boast?
It's pretty flavorful. I like it. But I, as a player, I don't know if I would think it's the best, because that's probably going to happen anyway. Although you can probably use it to get out of a jam if there's, they're about to take you out. You go, stop! and have it happen. But yeah, so I think this one is pretty good and leans into the standard tropes. Especially if you play it earlier on, like a lieutenant, that could really help the non-investigative minded type players get to the end without too much prodding, you know? When you play it like on the big boss, it can buy you a turn, so that can be very good as well. Depends on how the GM interprets it, but yeah, overall, good card.
Mark, your thoughts on Triumphant Boast?
I like this card a lot. This is very much, as Jay pointed out, in the spirit of the Nile Empire. Monologuing. There are a lot of different ways that the villain gives the game away, if you will. I try not to do it just as a matter of, oh, I feel like doing it here, I'm going to do it here, because there are so many different ways that the Storm Knights can force that out of your villains, that if you've already done it because you wanted to, which if you want to, go ahead, but if you've already done it because you want to and then they play this card, you got nothing left in the tank and you got to make some stuff up that you hadn't planned on. So I like to kind of be prepared for this one, especially with the various, if you've got a lieutenant versus a villain versus, maybe I wouldn't let them play it on a mook just because, they don't know anything and it's a waste of the card. And it really, I don't want my players to feel like, oh, haha, I got you to waste a resource and you didn't get anything for it. That's not the spirit of the game. So just have something like when you're presenting a situation with a bunch of mooks and maybe a lieutenant or an underboss or something like that, that you got an idea of what he does or he, what she doesn't know about the overall plan, so that if this comes out or if monologuing or whatever comes out, you've got some idea so you didn't know about the rocket car I have in the underground garage, did you? That kind of thing. So whatever. That way you have something to give them. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think this is very flavorful for Nile Empire. It's kind of a an automatic persuasion to get information. But I think it's a decent card. I mean, there's other ones that I think player-wise are probably a lot better, but this isn't one of those cards that you read and you're just like, oh, it's so niche, and especially in the Nile Empire, there's going to be master plans and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So let's move on to number 9, Inevitable Return. Make sure, because this, I just want to make sure we're not doing, nope, This was an earlier one. Play to bring any deceased character immediately back to life. Where or how she reappears is up to the GM. All Storm Knights gain two possibilities if this card is used to restore a villain. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on Inevitable Return?
This card is almost always used to bring back a villain, in my experience. And that gives you the chance to have them just suddenly appear. And scar the players with that music. But no, this is probably the most iconic Nile Empire card, probably. If a character goes down, you can get him back. If you guys are all doing well, you can let the villain get away. If the players really like a villain, they can play this. Who was it now? I can't remember his name all of a sudden. The Iron Crocodile. I think this got played on him twice. And every time I would write between games, a little scene of him going back to Wuhan and getting upgraded each time. This is an excellent card. And it's immediately, but I also kind of use it as they get away as well for the villain. It's mm-hmm. not like you kill them, you play this, get some possibilities, and then you just kill them again, right? They get away, you're going to encounter them later. It's an inevitable return. Really good card.
Mark, your thoughts on Inevitable Return?
To me, this one's kind of a so-so card, teetering on the lower end, just because in the Nile Empire, the GM's always got Inevitable Return at their disposal. Unless you just atomize the body for all to see right there, and even then, you know, if you can write a way for the villain to come back, the villain comes back. Even if, like, you've got yours with Iron Cobra's daughter, I think, you know, that's kind of the same thing, right? So this is to me, and as you guys said, it's always used on a villain because that's the way you get two possibilities out of it. And so and as Jay pointed out, it's like, this is an escape. I let them get away because that seems like a power that the fight is over. The fight is gone. The fight's down. Somebody plays the card. He comes back up and the fight's never really over. It's just a continuation of that fight. And so you just defeated him once. So I like the idea of escape to return another day, so that sword of Damocles is hanging over their head, that whoever they just played it on is eventually going to come back, shook their fist at them as they ran off into the night or whatever.
Yeah, I always have played this with it being they come back later. They don't come back immediately. The other thing that I like that if there is a few cards, and we've talked about some of these in the other Cosms and in Nile Empire also, of how there's cards that are kind of the get out of death free card that they're nice in the way of, hey, my character, I have like a safety net of not losing my character, but they are niche because it's really hard to kill off a Torg Eternity Storm Knight. In most games that I've been around, it's like very, very, the ones that tend to die are the I've been disconnected and I can't soak and then I get hit by a lot, or a player choosing to use the martyr card because they just want to get a new character. This has the you can use it on villains, get some possibilities, so I think this card has more use applications than just the I get out of death, because you could get out of death yourself with it as well. So let's move on to
I did actually want to say something regarding how Mark mentioned you can technically bring villains back all the time anyway in the Nile Empire. Personally, and I know we might have very different opinions here. I don't like to do that too often. Like only like once or twice in a campaign with a character that's like super integral to the plot or that the players really love or hate, maybe, because I kind of feel if you just keep bringing every villain back all the time, it kind of loses something. Their victories don't really matter if you're still fighting the same guys over and over all the time. So this adds an extra way for the players to tell you, hey, we want to fight this guy again, instead of shoving someone else on them all the time. So I do think that that's a good aspect. And as you mentioned, Lehman, there's always the martyr and then this combo, to we need something done. Martyr. Oh, it came back. All good.
Yeah, so let me
Sorry,
clarify.
guys.
Yeah, let me clarify. I'm not saying that Nile Empire is just whack-a-mole with this
Oh,
set
yeah.
group of five or six or whatever subset of villains. But, you know, when you have what the story requires is what the story gets. And in the Nile Empire, if the story requires that, like if you planned it out and the villain's going to show up in Act Two and Act Five and Act Seven, and then in Act Nine of your story, that's when they have the major confrontation. It's dramatic and everything, and you build up to that. But in Act Five, they whack the villain, and now you're like, well, what am I going to do? Well, you're in the Nile Empire. You can bring them back if you need that to happen for the story. But I'm not saying that you know, every time Iron Cobra shows up, you blast him, his atoms, and scatter them, and you keep trying to, and like a troll that you haven't burnt, he keeps rising from the dead and coming back. Now, that's not my point. So I agree with you. If the story doesn't require that, I'm just saying that the GM has that ability already in the Nile Empire for the most part anyway. But it should be used sparingly.
Out of all the cosms, I would say Nile Empire and Aurorsch would be the ones that the enemies can come back. Aurorsch through
Pan
the
Pacifica.
night air. Pan Pacifica, it's their clone or something.
Number three, number four, number five.
So
Well, that's Mark Cadandra.
let's move to 10, the law of action. All Storm Knights may immediately play two Destiny cards into their action pool. So, what are your thoughts, Jay, on the law of action?
Great. I mean, it's at the beginning, it just gets a fight started right away. There's no like ramp up period. You're gonna get in a fight at some point, or you're gonna get in a DSR or death trap or what have you. So this is almost always good.
And Mark, your thoughts on Law of Action?
Yeah, great. I mean, who doesn't want to just drop this and play two cards into their Destiny pool right off the bat? Boom, done. There's no thought about this. The only thought that goes into it is, what fight do I play it on? And typically, I've seen this come up, you know, being held until you get to the dramatic scene with the death trap or the DSR or the chase or the thing that you have to have happen. Like, boom, let's start it right. This is the time. It's usually pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's like a super duper group situational awareness. So let's move on to 11, Cliffhanger. Play when a character would test for defeat. The round immediately ends. Take a short break and negotiate how the character survived. The character gains one possibility and has one shock left. Any other damage remains. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on Cliffhanger?
This is a weird one, because again, there's been we've talked like the odds of a Storm Knight about to die would are pretty slim. Although this can be played on any character, in theory, you could even play it on a villain, I guess. But the thing is, it has that same issue with one of the ones from last time, where it kind of like ends the scene. So. Not necessarily, but it kind of implies that it does because you have
Just
to
the round.
negotiate. Yeah, just
Just
the
the round.
round. The round ends, and then we take a little break, and figure out what happens. So, yeah, I mean, it's good, but it's like, how likely is it to happen? And you get one possibility and have one shock left, and every other damage you have. So you're still like grievously wounded. You've got a bunch of issues. Out of all of the save the character cards, even in the Nile Empire alone, this is probably the weakest. But I guess the big bonus is if someone gets taken out by of like a an initial attack, an early attack on the villain's round, and like their big super attack hasn't gone off, this can stop that. But Yeah, it's kind of limited to me.
Mark, what are your thoughts on Cliffhanger?
It's very Nile Empire, in my opinion. It because as it says, it's the round stops. The battle's still going on. This is an artificial pause in the battle where everybody's just kind of frozen in place for a moment while you figure out, okay, so what's the pulp excuse for why instead of getting your head blown off and falling over the cliff to your doom, you now have one shock left and you're, and I mean, it doesn't say that it restored wounds. It doesn't say, you know, any of that, you know, any other damage remains. So whatever you had before, could that be that you're, you know, the attack that caused you defeat, you've taken all those wounds. So I guess you had three wounds, suffered three wounds, and you got hit with five wounds. That takes you out. You have to test for defeat. You go back to having three wounds again, I guess, right? And you're down to, instead of a, if it's, you know, 7 of 8 shock or 8 of 8, whatever. So yeah, you're teetering on the brink. It's a get out of jail free card kind of, but you get to, and GMs pay attention to that word, negotiate. This is not a, let's dictate this one. This is, I like this one where you're like, so how do you think your character survived this? Give the players a little agency on influencing the story. And then weave it into what you know is in the area. There might be something, it might be cool to have, you know, the death trap that they haven't sprung yet. Some aspect of the power source that arcs and sparks and does something. I don't know. It's cool.
So I kind of agree with Jay. Out of all the get out of death things, this brings you back. You could immediately end the round, have everybody take a break, figure out how your character survived, and then they take one wound next round and end up dead anyway.
At least you can force everyone to take a break.
Right. And that's that's the other thing that I think, like, I really love the idea of this card. It is very Nile Empire pulpy. The wording in it is straight. Taking a short break. Okay, let's just stop the action. We're in the action cosm. Oop, action stops.
Well, that's the cliffhanger
stop.
Card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if it's near when you're going to take your break anyway, then it's fine. But if it's, you know, when you're going to, you just took your break or you're going to need to take a break in 30 minutes or something, it's just, that, I guess that's the part that I kind of am iffy.
Well, about. I don't see it as a break in the, I don't see it as the players taking a, or the characters taking a break. I see that all frozen in time because it's the round yeah. immediately ends. So any Storm Knights that haven't acted, well, you just lose your action. Sorry about that. I'm saving my life. And then you negotiate. The break is there just to negotiate how you saved yourself
right.
and got one shock. And then you pick up the next round, flip a card.
I understand that. I just think. Don't like that it could stop that from, you know, stop. Instead of ending the round and moving on, and then at the end of the combat when it's been resolved going, hey, let's figure out, you know, because you, I don't think you need to know why
it
Joe,
feels like a speed bump to you.
Yeah, it's a speed, it, like at the end, after the battle's been resolved, the action's been resolved, going, okay, Joe, let's determine how your character came back. I don't think that that's actually needed and to, you know, I don't think the fight is needed to pause while that's figured out. I guess that's,
I don't think it's going to be a long pause. It's like, no. It shouldn't really take more than 1 minute.
It could.
It could, sure.
So I would just say, Game Masters, be aware that that's what the card says and determine with your table if you would like to maybe put that break at the end to figure out what happened instead of in the middle. Now, the round immediately ending and that I don't have a problem with. It's more of the pause and stepping away from the action for some time.
We have to rename it.
So
yes, until next time.
Right. I mean, I guess it could have been like, and your session ends for the come back. Come back next time to figure out what happens. Okay. So,
that's right.
Card number 12. What luck? Play to introduce an element into the environment that helps the heroes. An unseen ledge that stops a fall, a water truck near the scene of a fire, and so on. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on what luck?
very good card. Really like this. Half the time it ends up being like barrels of kerosene or something. But I usually kind of go the flashback route with this, and I'll ask, like, if I can't think of anything immediately, I'll ask players what they want. Like, because in this one, it says an element. So if they get to choose or you get to choose, like, sometimes players will say something where there's no chance, but I will often let them get away with something kind of weird if it makes sense. But ultimately, I think as a GM, it is up to you, like, what it's going to be. But yeah, you could feel free to suggest things as well. Really good card. Really like this one.
Mark, what are your thoughts on What Luck?
Yeah, this is another really good thematic card for the Nile Empire. I like this one a lot. This is a great card for the Storm Knights when things have turned against them. There's always, it's a little deus ex machina, in my opinion. I'm probably butchering that, but, you know, hey, whatever. You know what I mean. It's, you didn't know it was there, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's this thing that's fortuitous and just happens to be. I mean, it's very Nile. So, like Jay said, I like the idea of giving your players some agency on that, and well, what do you think ought to be there? What do you, you know, they know their characters, they know their Storm Knights the best, and so they know what they could, if I just had a wheelbarrow and a Holocaust cloak, you know, okay, you know, figure out how did that get there?
Yeah,
it's an Nile Empire.
I like this card, you know, you see it in movies a lot. This could be the, when I said the inflatable raft when you're falling out of a airplane, or, you know, falling into the hay bale, you know, when you jump out of a building or something like that. Or in the Nile, even more than other places in Torg Eternity, there's all those situations where the players are in, you know, crazy situations that they're trying to climb or fly or do other things that can have, say, everybody except for a couple fail, fall off a train, you know, any of those type of things. That's a nice safe measure type thing. So let's move on to 13, Escape. Play to get a character out of the restrained condition, bonds, or prison cell. Alternatively, make all steps available during this round of a chase. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on Escape?
So individually, both of these things are normally fairly niche, right? You're not going to get locked up or restrained too often. You're not always going to be in chases, except in the Nile Empire, the odds of both are highly increased compared to any other realm except, I don't know, maybe Tharkold. So actually, I think this is a pretty good card. The odds are it's going to come up at some point. And the best is, if someone is about to be slain or is slain, they can be captured and then immediately escape. So there's always that little 1-2 combo already as well. Yeah, so I like this one.
Mark, your thoughts on Escape?
Yeah, if you hadn't mentioned Captured, I was going to mention Captured, because it's another good 1-2 combo, like Martyr and Inevitable Return. Escape is good from the standpoint that I know it says chase specifically, alternatively make all steps available this round in a chase, which is very Nile. Might convince me that you could get all the steps to a death trap or a DSR.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's the same. A chase, I mean, they're all DSRs in theory. It says chase specifically. So I might.
That makes more sense for getting out of a death trap than a chase.
Yeah. I might bend the rules enough to let that happen, because that's what, you know, escape. It's very niche on the restrained condition, bonds, or prison cell. And that's, to me, that's almost not worthy of being a Cosm card. That, you know, you got a twofer here. So it's like, you could do this one little thing or this other thing. It's kind of pretty cool. We put it together. So we got you, you know, your Cosm card at home. Cause it's not, you got a lot of ways to get out of the restrained condition, bonds, or prison cell in the Nile Empire.
Yeah, I completely agree with Jay in the when you read the first part, you're just like, huh? And you read the second part and you're like, meh. But together, it's kind of like a Swiss Army knife. You know, you have one card that can do multiple things. So I think all together is what makes this card. I would also do this as a DSR. And as both of you know, my not liking chases, I would love to have all steps available to get the thing over with. My personal thought on that. Okay, so let's move on to 14. What now? Add a dramatic skill resolution to an encounter during a dramatic scene. Each step is DN, so the difficulty number of 12, against a skill appropriate for the situation. If resolved within 5 rounds, all Storm Knights gain 2 possibilities. Otherwise, the Storm Knights must discard their action pools and a destiny hand. So basically all destiny cards. So what are your thoughts on what now, Jay?
I'm going to imagine Mark loves this card, but because it adds another DSR. And personally, because I don't like necessarily having DSRs all the time, one that's introduced from a card is fine. Again, players are choosing to do this to themselves, so it's not a play immediately. Normally doing a difficulty 12 dramatic skill resolution probably isn't that hard, but if it's on top of what you're already doing, which might be another dramatic skill resolution, that might become a lot harder. So, and if this, and to be honest, like how many DSRs have failed due to time in your games? Like very few, I think. One. For me, like, yeah, one or two. So, but the risk for failure is pretty significant because at that point you're beat up. You've probably spent your possibilities trying to succeed at this, and then suddenly you just lose all your cards. On that note, you're going to want to go for the critical moment anyways. I think it's a good one. I don't know how often players would play it, to be honest, and it might make things mechanically more difficult for the encounter. There's going to suddenly be more stuff to worry about as the GM. But the fact that they're all one skill test is kind of good, so that helps streamline it a bit. And if it is going on with another DSR, they're probably, you know, they're both like, I guess it depends when they play this, because they could be offset slightly. It's just going to be more complicated. Be prepared.
Mark, your thoughts on what now?
So Jay is absolutely correct. I love this card. I love this card enough to where I'm gonna make it even better, and I'm gonna make it so that you can play it when you want to, not just in a dramatic scene, because I think that the whole point of this is to drop it down when because as you point out, this is the players choosing to do this to themselves, but it has to be during an encounter. So as Rod likes to do, dramatic skill resolution fight. Put them together. Two great tastes that taste great together. Love that. As a GM, when this card hits the table, I'm going to look at what's going on in the scene, because it's going to have to happen in the scene that they're in. Unless you've got something that's just, oh, this is perfect. And you're like, tell you what, why don't you hang on to that for a minute, or we'll leave it on the table. You let me trigger it when it's good. And make it fit with the story. But here's the thing that I think is, I'm also going to change it to, it's not just a skill, a single skill, because I despise a DSR that's computers, 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 or dexterity, 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 whatever, as a DSR. I think a DSR needs to be, you know, it tells its own little story of how you got into a problem and got out of the problem, right? So if you're the players and you're putting it down, I'm going to sit back and go, okay, what's your DSR? And let the players write the DSR for me. If I don't have, you know, I look at the situation going on and say, well, what's going on? And they start, it's almost like a negotiation where they're like, where they say, this is what we think we'd like, you know, where this is the DSR we'd like to do. And you know the story, that's that the things that they don't know. And so you can manipulate that to where it blends in with your story really well and fits nicely. Because they're going to get two possibilities out of it if they pull this off. So you know, it needs to. It's, this is not just a here's my card, give me my two possibilities. That's cheap. I don't like that at all. So let them set the DSR. You manipulate it a little bit to fit in with what you've got coming that they don't know about, and then let it kick off where it makes sense in the game. But I love this card. It's a fantastic card.
Yeah, I really like this card as well. I think this there's enough little moving parts, so to say, that it just really fits a lot of things. I would even probably do the not necessarily restrict it to a dramatic scene. One, the players are adding it to the session, so it's on them. I love the risk versus reward. Two possibilities is pretty good. As Jay said, DN12 is just a little bit above standard, and five rounds is what the DSRs are anyway. But if they don't, then all their cards are gone. All their destiny cards are gone. So that's kind of a nice thing. Players are going to play this, and they're going to know what the reward and what the risk is. So yeah, I think this is a pretty cool card. I would say, again, and I've said this on a lot of things with the introduction of groups of enemies, if you're in a time constraint, if you're doing a one session or we're doing this one act and we have a time constraint and we're not getting back together on a regular schedule, I would wrap this into a DSR that's bound to be in whatever adventure. But if I wasn't restrained, I would have this be an extra thing. And I also love having DSRs happen at the same time other things are happening. That keeps everybody involved, whether it's, you know, fighting off foes or doing other things while the DSR is ongoing, so it's not just one person doing a step each round and other people helping that one person.
Yeah, it's obstacle piling. It's perfect. And they chose to pile this obstacle on. You didn't even do it to them. They did it themselves.
So let's move on to number 15, which is a card that we were talking about before we started the recording. Secret Identity. If wearing a mask, you may remove it and reveal your identity to heal one wound and gain one possibility. Removing the mask only has an effect if the people you reveal your identity to don't already know. So, Jay, your thoughts on Secret Identity?
So, in my campaign, this has never been used because all the characters in my group none wore a mask, so it was just not applicable to any of them. So I could see why it would be good. You know, healing a wound is good. Totally isolated from any skill test or anything. Getting a possibility is good. I like that they put that little limitation on the bottom, so you can't just be back at your base. Hey guys, it's me.
I'm healed and get a possibility.
Yeah. I think it's good. It's just never come up in my game, and that it will probably depend on how many Nile Empire characters you have in your group. I mean, anyone can wear a mask while you're in the Nile, but usually anyone who's going to be in combat probably already has better armor anyways, or they want to stay out of combat, and there might be a face character and want people to know who they are. So I find it's usually the Nile characters that have the masks. Unless maybe you're from Isle and you have a closed helmet the entire time, maybe. But yeah, theoretically good, and I'll let the stories happen.
So, Mark, your thoughts on Secret Identity?
This is a fantastic card, and I only moderately liked it until we had what happened on the stream happen. And if you haven't seen our run through the Fires of Ra, you should go watch that just for what happened with this card, because it was absolutely fantastic. And it was organic, completely organic. We had a player who had, for you players who like to do backstories, do your backstory for the Nile Empire. This is the card you're waiting on, and use it wisely, because it's going to be fantastic when you do it, if you do it right. He had a backstory that, and I won't give it away because it really is worth watching on the stream to then watch it happen on the stream. But it worked so well. It was fantastic. So Nile Empire, this card makes masks matter even more. Masks, I mean, you get plus two armor, you put a mask on. Okay, everybody puts a mask on the Nile, they get plus two armor, don't have to wear anything. Easy peasy, right? This makes masks even better. And it's only going to work one time, because when you reveal yourself, you got to be the people you reveal yourself to have to not already know who you are. So if you have the famous perk, right, guess what doesn't work for you? This right here doesn't work for you if you're famous. I'm not letting it work for you if you're famous, because you're famous. I mean, Tony Stark took his mask off. Everybody knows who Iron Man is, right? So that doesn't work anymore. But anybody can wear a mask, and if you're in a room and they don't know who you are and you reveal your identity to, you know, the room full of the mob goons to cow them and to heal up, whatever, okay, that works. But now everybody knows who you are because word of mouth spreads and you can never do that again. It's just a fantastic card. And absolutely go watch the stream. Go watch our Twitch channel to see the roll hit die to see what happens with the Nile Empire run in Fires of Raw. It's worth it.
Yeah, I like this. It's funny, the group that we were in going through Nile Empire was actually the opposite of yours, Jay, where I don't even... We had one Nile Empire guy, but everybody got a mask, even if we had armor, just to have a mask and to name ourselves goofy hero names.
Oh, yeah.
So we just got into it. So... I think it's pretty cool, and yes, I do love the restriction that you can't just, hey guys, you didn't know who my, you know, secret identity was, but we're all in the group together, so now you're, you know, you just keep my secret safe. You know, no, that's not going to work. They can't know who you were. So let's move on to 16, Captured. You and anyone with you are captured by enemy forces and brought back to their base of operations. They take obvious weapons, but don't search for others or remove armor. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on captured?
It should be noted that this is captured with no punctuation.
Yes.
Whereas captured with an exclamation mark works very differently. Whereas the original one was, if someone is dead, like if they're killed, they're KO'd, captured, and taken away, and anyone else who gets killed is. This is just you and everyone with you are captured and brought to their base. Usually skipping scenes 2 and 3, basically. So this is weird. Better in some ways, worse in others. It's hard to really tell because it does have to affect you, so you can't play it on behalf of someone. But there's always, you know, they could stick a tracker on you and have you get captured and then follow it or something like that. So there's a lot of like creative room for planning and plotting in this. But yeah, it really depends on if your characters want to get captured. They might play this if it looks like things are going to be grim for them, but things are rarely grim, especially in the Nile Empire for PCs. So I don't know. I guess I just don't have enough experience with this card to really see the huge benefits for it. I don't spend as much time running Nile Empire games. So I just say it looks good. It's just kind of a shame about the name being used twice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mark, your thoughts on captured instead of captured?
Yeah. Yeah, we're captured. So this is not a bad card. It's just not a tremendously good card unless it's used in a very niche way. It's specific. But note that the weapons are confiscated, but like if you go to Star Trek, whenever they took Kirk's communicators and stuff, they were always like, what is this? What does this do? And they put it on the table 3 feet away, right? So the gear, you're in the jail cell, but your stuff is on the table just outside the jail cell, and you can see it, and it's right there. They didn't take your armor because it says they didn't take your armor, and they didn't search you for those hidden weapons, right? So you're getting out, even if you don't have the previous card that gets you out. There are a lot of ways to circumvent that. But note that it says that it's that you're taken to the base of operations. That doesn't mean necessarily that they're taking you to the base, right? It could be just like their forward operating base or this one place where the lieutenant is instead of the base where the big bad is or whatever. So you don't have to blow up your mission. The whole adventure is like, oh, well, like Jay said, and we skip scenes 2 and 3. Not necessarily. You may have to add a scene in where there's a base that you didn't plan on, and just where's this empty warehouse now that they're using as a hasty base for the whatever they were doing. That's where they take them, whatever. And that's why you escape, because they weren't really planning on detaining any heroes. They just happened to tie you up with bad knots, because Guido doesn't tie, you know, he's got meat hooks because he's the big ham-handed boxer, and he doesn't tie good knots, but that's who they had tie you up. Yeah, that's why you got out. Whatever. The big question I have is, what does it mean for anyone with you? I mean, does that mean me and all the other Storm Knights? Does it mean if I'm like Boria and Spoot, me and Spoot get picked up? Or if I got a companion and it's just the two of us, but everybody else is still free? I mean, so there's some interpretation there with you and anyone with you captured. And I guess you can interpret that how you need it to be interpreted so that the dramatic story proceeds down the way that it should. And now I'm going to contradict something that I just said. If you need to get into the base, this is a great card to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't figure out how to get into the base. Well, let's go get captured. Put that down. And then what the card does for you on that perspective is, they take your stuff, they confiscate your stuff, but it's right there and your armor is still on. And so if you're planning on getting captured and you secret those weapons inside your armor, you've planned for it. Okay, they didn't search you because the card says it didn't search you. And so, you know, you pull all the stuff you hid in. We won't ask where you hid it, and, you know, off you go. So it could it be both? Yeah, it absolutely could be both.
Yeah, I like this card. It's another various use card. It could be a, hey, we just rolled really bad, they rolled really good, we might have a TPK happen.
Hey,
let's get captured instead. And then it also, like Mark said, you get to that, you find that base that you needed to get into, and you can't figure out how to. This is a good way to get in. And then you throw in the escape or whatever, or you,
it's classic Bond stuff,
right? Yeah, it's or even a lot of movies you see, a lot classic of video adventure games stuff. I mean, it's like, yeah, any fantasy RPG video game, you end up getting thrown in jail and find the, you know, whatever it is to get out. So this is kind of that card. So yeah, I like it. Moving on to 17, which is just inevitable return again, because returning to this card was inevitable. So go back to the second card that we did today for that. And then we will move on to 18, Star-Crossed Romance. A villain falls for one of the heroes for the rest of the act. They gain a pool of two possibilities from which each may spend from. One possibility is added to the pool each time one grants the other special treatment or facilitates an escape. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on Star-Crossed Romance?
My group loves romance cards. They play them constantly. They love this, too. It's not as... I think this is actually better than the romance card, like, just flavor-wise, because you get them by helping each other out. So this got played on a certain Time Sandy character in my campaign. It tells you who to have as a recurring character, have them keep popping up all the time. Yeah, I really, really like this one.
Mark, your thoughts on Star-Crossed Romance?
This is, in my opinion, this is a combination of a nemesis and a romance. And I really like it. I let in a home game, I would let nemesis and romance get played to create this in an even more dramatic fashion, in that love-hate relationship thing going on. This is a little different from that in that there's no nemesis, there's no hate involved in it. It's just a, you know, you're bad for me, but I like you anyway. And I can see the heroes letting the villains go over this, and then the rest of them going, what was that? I'm sorry, I tripped. Or, you know, whatever, making excuses, this, that, and the other. And all the players know what's going on, but, I mean, and then, you know, the hero gets, that's how you get out of prison, is she comes down and she kind of slips you the key and gives you a big smooch and walks on or whatever, and you get out. You know, this is a great card, but I would say don't let this get abused by your players, in that every single time this villain encounters your Storm Knights, the villain does something good for the Storm Knights and nothing ever goes the other direction. Right? So it's not a, this is not a one-way street. Make sure that that pool gets moved in both directions, or it's not as cool as it could be.
Yeah, I agree. I like this better than the romance card, just for a romance card. I've seen it played a lot as a, ooh, I got three possibilities. I could spend it on them, but I got three possibilities. Where yeah. This one, you could be the, oh, I'm going to use these possibilities, but you can gain more by actually helping the other side. So that's something that I like a lot about this card, is it adds more reason to keep this thing going, and it lasts an act. So yeah, I like that card. We will move on to card number 19, Out of the Way. Play during a chase. Once someone reaches step C, everyone in the chase loses 2 steps. If that would put the participant below step A, make a test as 4, dilemma, or be KO'd. All Storm Knights gain 1 possibility. So, Jay, what are your thoughts of Out of the Way?
I bet Lehman loves a card that makes chases take longer.
Yeah.
I don't like this card. I don't really see players necessarily using it, because usually who's going to be getting the step C first? Them. Will it KO a bunch of goobers that are chasing them? Maybe. But it's going to slow them down too. So I imagine most would rather just keep going and finish it instead of losing 2 steps. Everyone getting 1 possibility is all right, but that's potentially adding 2 more rounds. I mean, it could be 1 if you get a BC or whatever. Or I guess an AB. But yeah, I just don't think that it's really necessarily worth the hassle just for 1 possibility for each person. If it KOs like all of the enemies, maybe. But you're already handedly winning at that point. And this is just asking for some dilemma to happen. Because remember, I mean, it depends on if the chase, I guess, has a fail state. If it just knocks them out and you win, then I guess that's good. But if there is something where you still, like after a certain amount of rounds, you don't get to the end, then you would never want to play this. So I guess it depends. You have to be already handedly beating them for this to be useful.
Mark, your thoughts on Out of the Way.
This is a very complicated card, in my opinion. There's a lot going on here, and first of all, I think you're going to have some definitions. And I'd love, Lehman, for you to pop in with your definitions on this. Because it says someone reaches step C. Does that mean I just finished B and now I'm on step C? Or does it mean I completed step C successfully and now I'm on step D?
I would say it's when they finished B and are currently on step C.
Okay.
At least.
So... anybody who isn't already on step B is going to test for a dilemma or be KO'd. So all of your companions, if you're the one that has the high dex and you're the one that's bounding through the chase and everybody else is back at A, guess who's testing? All of your companions. So you probably want to make sure everybody understands where that is. So what happens if I'm on B and I say, you know what, I'm going to go for C and D. Do I just skip over this card? You do C and D?
I'm doing C A.
So you want to have all of this ironed out, especially if somebody's holding it in their hand. You're like, okay, well, let's talk about that. But I would definitely, if you can, as soon as you know somebody's holding that, every time you walk into a chase, you might want to have in the back of your mind an excuse for why this card does what it does in your chase if it gets played. Because, I mean, there's just a lot of complication in this, and it doesn't, to me, I guess I could see, you know, you're in the chase and you run the speeding car into the, you know, they crash into the half opened back end of the other car or truck, and they get stuck and they're shaking their fist at you as you drive off, whatever. Okay, fine. But it's so niche as far as, you know, how do you fix that? How does that happen in your chase? Not my favorite card.
Yeah, not my favorite. And it, I'll go along with Jay in that if this was like a guaranteed, everybody on my side gets to step C. All of them are on step A or B, all the villains. And then you play this card and they all get KO'd. Then it's worth it to me.
Yeah.
But they even have could get out of that because they still get to make a test. And if they succeed that test, then they're not knocked out. So then, you know, depending on how many others there are, what their attributes, there is just so much, as Mark said, that complicates this and doesn't make it a yes, no, play, don't play. And there's some cards that have that I like. We've talked about a few of those tonight where there's some give and take, the risk versus reward. And this is more of just complications to get a possibility that I don't necessarily like that much.
And it doesn't avoid whatever happens at the end of the chase. So if that's right. One of those where you corner the guys and then you get to fight them, and you knock half your party out because they weren't on step C with you when you cornered the guys to fight them, and now you're there by yourself. This is that possibility you're going to need.
Okay, so then we are finally on 20, unexpected turn. One hero may attempt a near impossible, which is a difficulty number of 20, persuasion tests against a subordinate villain, but never the highest ranking villain within the scene. If the test succeeds, the villain aids the heroes for the remainder of the scene. So, Jay, your thought of unexpected turn.
This is a pretty good card. Difficulty 20 persuasion is obviously difficult, but this is usually the reward for this is worth expending resources on. Especially as it is probably not in combat, so you don't have to worry about pooling cards. It's probably some kind of social situation, unless the GM has made it a social dramatic skill resolution. So you're free to trade and spend cards and spend possibilities, and remember it's the Nile, so you can, if it's a Nile possibility, you get to roll twice and take the best. So there's a lot of opportunity to make a level 20 persuasion, even if you don't have a dedicated face character. I've seen a lot of dwarves manage it when they need to. They just act sour all the time. They can be persuasive when they need to. But yeah, really good. It lasts for the whole scene, so it can help them through a lot. In my campaign, this led directly into the star-crossed romance. So you can kind of chain these things together to get some emergent storytelling there. Yeah, I think this one is really good. And if they don't have a dedicated face character, the players do have to kind of discuss amongst themselves, is this worth the amount of resources we might need to spend on it? So it's not like just a no-brainer, throw it out there. they do have to think about it. Although if you do have a dedicated face character, it's like, woohoo, off we go. Yeah, really, really like this one.
And Mark, your thought on Unexpected Turn.
Yeah, as a player, if you're going to play this, you need to be prepared to spend resources because you're going to. In rare instances, you're going to spend resources to hit a 20. Probably more than one. As Jay pointed out, you're also probably not in combat for this, so that makes it even better because you can trade cards and whatnot, and it's not as hard to do because you got people that can give you basic bonuses and supporters and heroes and dramas and all the rest of that. Note any hero, it says one hero may attempt this. It's not the player, the person who dropped it. It's, you know, we need our, I'm not the face, but I have a good idea. Let me put this down and this, and hey face, you need to go over here and schmooze with this villain and get us out of this jam, whatever. And now it's something that can happen. From the standpoint of the villain that's being schmoozed, I would absolutely have a negotiation because this is the bad guy being convinced to help the good guys, right? And so I very clearly, the bad guy's negotiating with, you want me to do what? And you know what, this is in the scene. So the purpose for that negotiation is, you know how far this scene goes and you know what makes sense for how far that villain should go through that scene and the how far that help extends so that it's still within the bounds of the scene. And so that's part of that negotiation. And, you know, I can only go so far as the docks. And, you know that when they get on the boat at the docks, you're switching scenes to scene four. And that's as far as that villain or that villain's going to go, is to get you on the boat and help you get to the boat on the docks. Done. Whatever that happens to be, there's a boundary in there. And so work that negotiation to be able to get, and then it seems organic and it seems very, very in line with how the scene unfolded instead of yanking all the players out of the verisimilitude of what's going on inside the game. It says a subordinate villain or not the high, never the highest ranking villain within the scene. I mean, I get why that's in there, but if it makes sense, I might have some latitude on that aspect of it, just because it might make sense that the only villain that's there is the only villain that's there. And if there's one villain in the scene, then by definition, that's the highest ranking villain within the scene. And it wouldn't, as written, it wouldn't work on that person.
Right. Or like a squad of shock troopers where they're all the same.
Yeah, I'm okay with having some leniency there to what makes sense for the story, because as you pointed out, a shock trooper isn't going to get you very far, but the lieutenant in charge of the squad of shock troopers, which is the highest villain in the scene, that might make a lot of sense to the story. So I mean, how are you going to get around the lieutenant if the private is the one that you played the card on? I don't know. I like it. It's okay, but it's another one of those cards that's got a little complexity to it that you need to be prepared to work through.
Yeah, I like the aspect of it. You persuade, you get a villain to kind of turn for a little while to help you. That's really genre, prevalent in movies and stuff like that. And so I'll just agree with both Jay and Mark's thoughts on this. The other thing that I think that since we've done all 20 of these cards and we kind of brought up a lot is, out of all the Cosms, the Nile cards really work well together to help the story. You know, you can, we gave a few. Jay said that this turned into a star-crossed romance, and the captured can lead to escape. A martyr card, which is a destiny card, though, that could lead to the one of the return, inevitable returns, or something like that. So I just think all the cards together kind of are really cool, and that they can supplement each other and don't have to be isolated in that. So, having gone through all the Nile Empire cards, next time we'll get a new Cosm. And until then, do email us at torgdcd@gmail.com. Again, we will read your emails and we will answer questions. We'll listen to your comments, comment on the comments. And until next time, we hope you have fun in your own Cosmverse. Bye.